What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. So I saw a couple of stories came out of my previous stomping grounds out in the Asheville area, Western North Carolina. And so I figured, hey, you know what? Let's talk to Mark Starling. He's the morning guy in Asheville, WWNC, and he's got a couple fingers, well, in different areas, but one of them I think is on the pulse of various people in Asheville. So and we don't ever ask him about it because it's kind of gross. But so, Mark, welcome to the program.
Good to be back with you, Pete.
Yes, sir. So first off, I came across this piece at the AVL Watchdog website, and I was not aware that this had been occurring, that apparently there are a couple of Asheville City Council members that that are not participating in the Pledge of Allegiance. Is that?
Yes. The leader of the anarchists and Antifa and all those associated stormtroopers, Kim Roney would be one of them. And then, strangely, Shanika Smith, who I was actually kind of shocked that she's kind of signed on to this, to be honest with you.
Well, she has a very solid reason, I thought, when she gave the quote. She says, quote, nor is there a specific reason I'm not pledging. I mean, who could argue, really, with that logic?
Well, there's not a whole lot of logic that comes out of those chambers, I got to be honest with you.
That's fair. She said, I just decided it was really routinized. Routinized? That's a word I have never heard. She said it was routinized from my youth to do it without thought. And in my adulthood, I'm pretty much like, why am I doing the pledge? And why do I pledge allegiance to a man construct? I think she meant to say like a human construct. Not, she wasn't trying to assign gender. Oh my gosh, because that would be the real offense.
Here's what I think happened with this, because I believe that this is a reaction to her views on a law enforcement situation where she came out and happened to be pro-police in this particular situation. And that's pretty much when all hell broke loose with all of the advocates and activists. So I believe this pivot is because of that, to be honest with you.
So she's trying to placate the Moonbat Brigade base in the Democrat Party in Asheville because they didn't like her position on a specific police interaction.
Correct. Correct.
Now, Kim Roney, she's just a commie. As I understand,
he's just a communist. I don't really know any other way to put it. Like, he is hammer and sickle all the way, right?
All right, yeah, right. So, because the first thing I thought when I saw this story was, okay, is it possible they're not doing the pledge? Because they stand for the pledge, as I understand it. They do stand. Yes. They just
but
do
they
not. Yeah,
they don't look at the flag.
Right, they don't look at the flag. No hand over the heart. No recitation of the pledge. And so I almost wondered. Did they think about maybe like they wanted to take a knee, but there was no national anthem playing to take the knee during, and it would look weird if they took a knee sitting behind the dais? You wouldn't even see them, right?
I don't think there's enough room behind the dais for them to take a knee. I think that's probably, and I think that they would end up under the dais, so they wouldn't be seen at all.
Right.
So they would just look absent.
Right, they would look absent, or, you know what, they could maybe like have some puppets. They could put up their hands up, you know, over the table. They could do like some pump.
You know, for those of us who have to indulge ourselves in their meetings,
right,
this would be much more entertaining, I believe.
Yeah, so apparently they've been doing it for a while. They have no intention to resume saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And I love the John Boyle, the columnist who wrote the piece. He asks, is that a big deal anymore? I don't think in Asheville it's a big deal.
No, I mean, you know, in Asheville, it's everything anti-establishment, death to tourists, and let's build another brewery.
Yes.
You know, that's where we're at.
That's the recipe. Speaking of homelessness and crime, so downtown Asheville, this story, this is an idea that has now made the rounds again. I saw this was in the Asheville Citizen Times. The Downtown Association is now pushing once again for a bid, a business improvement district. Sometimes these are called tax increment finance districts, similar kind of mechanism. Charlotte's got a bunch of them where you have a property tax that's assessed on like a core business district, and then whatever revenue is generated in that district is then used to fund improvements and operations in that downtown district. So it's a way to keep that money in the core business district and use it for things, crazy ideas like, you know, police, stuff like that. So which I found this surprising that they were touting the success of the 60-day downtown safety initiative, which was last year. So for folks who aren't aware of how these things operate, tell us about the Asheville idea of a 60-day safety initiative and how well it went.
So this is actually, I actually lived this firsthand. I moved from West Asheville to downtown because West Asheville became so intolerable, I had to get out of there. I moved into the downtown area, and I moved kind of on in an area known as the South Slope. So it's the very south end of the downtown district, right?
It's where all the breweries are.
A lot of breweries, a lot of restaurants, a lot of tourism, a lot of foot traffic, a lot of concerts go on in that area as well at the music clubs and whatnot. And it had become, prior to me moving down there, it had become really bad. I mean, when you went downtown, there was garbage and trash strewn everywhere. There was needles everywhere. There was homeless people, those suffering from houselessness.
Right.
I wouldn't want to offend anybody.
Right, get it right.
Homeless. But it was just, it looked like Skid Row in the making, right? That's where we were. You had people, you know, shouting at clouds and hallucinating on the sides of the streets, and it was quite the show. So they start this 60-day crime initiative, which was, this is a crazy concept, but they put police back in downtown.
Wait, that's it?
That was it. That's all they had to do.
It's a bold strategy.
It was a really, really far-reach strategy, something way cutting edge, if you will. So they do this crime initiative, and I'll be honest with you. I moved in to downtown on day one of it, and it was a noticeable change within 14 days.
Are you sure that's not because of your presence?
Well, I mean, you know, I always took the approach that since we were open carry, it was within my best interest to open carry. So I generally didn't have any problems.
So the most surprising element of this story to me was that Asheville and Buncombe County actually had any police officers to staff, to send to downtown. That to me was the biggest, like, hey, it's a great idea. You want to staff some police officers in downtown. But where do you get them?
Well, you know, we did have officers in downtown, and the problem was when the George Floyd thing happened and they decided to destroy Asheville and then, of course, run the police up a flagpole, we lost 39% of our police force in the span of about 35 days.
Mm.
And so we've not recovered. I think we've recovered about 10 to 12% of that, and we're starting to get more back now. But the problem is that it just left us hamstrung. And a lot of this was at the city council's request because they were all about defunding the police and becoming this progressive, you know, kind of mecca for people to look to, right? Because they did the reparations thing not long after that, which, by the way, they've failed miserably at that. They've gone through 5 or 6 different people as head of the reparations board, and everybody keeps quitting. So,
because if I remember correctly, the reparations thing was like they were just going to form like a blue ribbon commission or something to look into it. It wasn't even like they set money aside to do it, right?
Well, no, because they don't have any money,
right?
So any money they spent was probably on the all-electric buses that they bought that all are now broken down and the company is defunct, so they can't get new parts for them. They can't fix them. And they forgot to measure the buses, and they're 5 inches too long to navigate the downtown city streets.
But
we're just knocking it out of the park up here.
Yeah, the key here is that they bought electric buses, and therefore they care more than you do. That's
it's true.
Right.
It's not to be confused with our $650,000 toilet that's being installed very soon in the downtown area.
See that? You're going to have a new place to do all the drugs.
Correct. And it has its graffiti proof, so they won't be able to put their little designs and tags on there.
I see that as a challenge. I see that. I think that's going to be taken as a challenge. I think at some point it will eventually break down and it will be covered in graffiti.
Well, it's going to be quite the situation.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they're doing here and what they're not doing here. I think even more importantly, they're taking all the tax money, right? They've got all the tax revenue coming in. The tax rates here are already ridiculous. We're the highest in the state. It costs these small businesses a fortune. And what we're seeing is these small businesses are having to leave areas like Asheville, and they're having to go to other places like cities like Waynesville. And you're starting to see areas like Waynesville and Hendersonville really start to have these bustling downtown areas because businesses can actually afford to operate there.
Yeah.
And they're not being nickeled and dimed to death for public services that they're already paying taxes for.
Well, as I prophesized, I said that was going to happen 10 years ago. Because you could see the writing on the wall. Hey, Mark Starling, he's the morning guy at WWNC in Asheville. Appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you, sir. We'll see you in a week.
You got it. Take care,
please. All right, man. Yeah, things are wacky out in Western North Carolina. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Yeah, the Asheville City Council, two of the members refusing to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Look, I'm old enough to remember where this would have been a national news story. If you had some elected officials in a town the size of Asheville, which for people who aren't aware, it's about the same size as Rock Hill, except it has no Charlotte next door to it. It's about 90,000 or so people, so it's the size of Rock Hill, and it is the Charlotte of the Western North Carolina area. It's the biggest city out there, and so a lot of people, you know, go to work in Asheville. It's the economic engine of the area and all that. And they let you know every single budget season, by the way. There have been a couple members of the city council over the years that have tried to do commuter taxes. It's one of the things I learned very quickly about Ashevillians, like leaders, the government leaders. They are always interested in finding ways to hit up everybody around them for money. So in that regard, they're very much like the people you see standing on the corners. But they're constantly trying to find ways to suck up money from their neighbors outside city limits. They tried to do it with the water system, selling them they're selling them water for more expensive rates. Differential water rates, to the point where they got into so much trouble that state lawmakers, all Democrats, this was all Democrat action, all D on D action here, and the Democrats had to step in at the state level, and they're like, okay, you got to stop doing what you're doing. They passed laws against the city of Asheville from doing it that they have been working under, they've been governing under for decades, and they keep trying to get out from under these laws because they really, 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 really want to soak their neighbors. No pun intended. So now you got Kim Roney and Shanika Smith say they're not going to stand for the pledge. And now it makes sense listening to Mark's explanation was that Shanika Smith actually got sideways with some of her, far left Antifa LARPer base. And by the way, it is an Antifa LARPer crowd out there. They're Trustafarians a lot of times. That's because you can't afford to live in Asheville unless you have a trust fund, right? I mean, that's how people, they go out there, they dress up like Antifa, they dress up like, you know, hippies, they dress the parts, and then they live in like the the West Asheville or the River Arts District. They live in these, you know, gritty kind of places, and they engage in all of the drug activity and the graffiti. Oh, I'm sorry, art. Sorry. They call it art out there. But it makes sense if she got sideways with the LARPers, and that's why she's now not reciting the pledge. That's the way she's like, I'm really with you, even though she got sideways over some sort of an Asheville Police Department incident. Because it was never the same after the Asheville Police Department broke up a bunch of water bottles during one of the George Floyd protests. It was never the same. That's when the tide turned against APD. And the LARPers were out in full force, and the city council caved, and they started moving forward with defund because Asheville officers busted up some water bottles. Dark days, man. Dark, dark days. We hardly knew ye old water bottles. I mean, they were little ones, like the, you know, 12-ounce ones. And some of them were frozen and were being thrown at the cops' heads, but none of that matters. None of that matters. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. One of the city council members up in the city of Asheville, Kim Roney, who she is sort of the leader of La Resistance, which is weird because they're all Democrats up there. It's like different shades of progressivism. But although there is like sort of a chamber adjacent, which isn't even chamber, like the Asheville Chamber of Commerce divested from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I think it may have been over Obamacare. That's how long ago this was. I don't recall, but it was something like that, where the U.S. Chamber came out and took a position on something that the leftists really hated. And so the Asheville Chamber of Commerce separated itself from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Anyway, so there are a couple that are like not full-throated haters of business because they know some friends who are, you know, Trustafarians or really rich in some other way, and they open up their own little shops and they sell crystals and stuff. And so, like, they don't want those businesses to go out of business. So they don't hate those business people. It's just other Republican business people that they don't like. That's the idea there. Anyway, Kim Roney, she does not recite the Pledge of Allegiance. She stands up and she puts her hands behind her back. She does not put her hand over her heart, nor does she say the words. I'm sorry. That was Shanika Smith. She says she stands. She faces the flag during the pledge out of respect for those who do say it, but she does not put her hand over her heart or say the words. During the pledge, Kim Roney stands with her hands behind her back, looking ahead. She wears a mask during the meetings. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Right. So she wears a mask during the meetings and does not say the pledge. She gave a statement. She gave a statement to the columnist John Boyle at the Asheville Watchdog. John Boyle, by the way, was the like 20 something year columnist at the Asheville Citizen Times newspaper. He's now writing at this sort of like a retirement home for old newspaper people. They all retire to Asheville with all of their pensions and stuff and Pulitzers. And then they all hooked up at like a dinner party or something. And they all met and they're like, I have a Pulitzer. You have a Pulitzer. Let's start AVL Watchdog. And they went after Madison Cawthorn. Anyway, she put out a statement to the organization, to the website, saying, quote, just if you have a social justice bingo card, you might want to get it ready for this, okay? All right. Quote, appreciating diversity of representation, acknowledging my privilege, and respecting the rights of individuals to peacefully participate in public meetings, I personally exercise the right not to pledge allegiance to the flag, but instead to invest in a hopeful prayer for wisdom, for peace, and for the liberty and justice for all that isn't yet realized in our United States of America. Let's not be distracted from the important work ensuring housing, food security, health, and public safety for the people of Asheville. So she, right, she says she prays. I knew it. She's a charlatan. Praying. That sounds awful close to Christian nationalism there. Shanika Smith, the other member who does not say the pledge, says she's careful with her words, but often as a black woman, I feel unprotected by community and society. So that's one of the reasons why I began to just kind of pull back from associations and relationships, just how I'm affiliated with things and people and ideas. No, I don't believe they drug test city council members. Although I think they were thinking about it at some point. I got a message here from Greg to Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. Pete, isn't Warren Haynes' brother on the town council in Asheville? Not anymore, Greg. So you are correct. Warren Haynes, one of the musicians, guitarist, right, for Government Mule, the band. His big Habitat for Humanity guy. They're from Asheville. He and his family are from Asheville. And he does the big Christmas jam every year in Asheville, like the 3-day concert and all that. And Warren Haynes has a brother named Brian Haynes. Brian Haynes worked at the Habitat for Humanity Restore. He was like an assistant manager there for like a decade or something. And then they were going to implement a drug testing policy, and he quit. Now, he didn't quit because he was on drugs. He said he quit in solidarity with people who didn't want to get drug tested. He just felt it was an infringement on constitutional rights, not that he would fail the drug test, which, by the way, heads up, never ask if you failed the drug test, right? If you were required to take a drug test and you take a drug test for like an employer or something, just don't ever go and ask if you passed, because that's a sure sign to the employer that you're worried about it. Okay. So that being said, he was like, it's not that I'm doing the drugs. It's that it's wrong for you to test me to see if I'm doing the drugs. So I'm going to quit. See, it was a principled position. Also, at the same time, he successfully got Asheville Police Department to stop checking people's backpacks that were walking around at festivals. Again, completely unrelated to people transporting weed in the backpacks or anything like that. It's not the same thing at all. All right. So no, he's no longer on the city council. With him being such an amazing musician, I don't understand how he could be so bad at governing. Oh, wait, it's his brother who's good at the music. He's just related to him. Right. Kind of like Hunter Biden. Yeah. Yeah. So Brian Haynes is no longer on the Asheville City Council. That was his last big deal. But his rise to fame came during the whole social justice riots and such. The fiery but mostly peaceful riots. Shanika Smith was asked by the columnist if she could change the wording of the pledge. Would that make a difference to her? If you could rewrite the Pledge of Allegiance and what would you, and then you could say it, like, what would you say? And she says, quote, what I'm thinking right now is what will be most equitable and personal if we, at that time of the pledge, we can just stand and acknowledge almost a moment of silence so people can make their own pledge and their own reason why. I don't think we can find any one pledge that will satisfy all. Which is really, really weird. Shows you how far the Democrat Party has drifted when not even a pledge written by a socialist can get their support. That's how far to the left they've gone. It's one of the most recognized rules of vocabulary, which is you do not give yourself your own nickname. John points out this was obviously codified in the documentary Seinfeld, where George Costanza was trying to create his own nickname and he wanted to be called T-Bone, but ended up getting the nickname Coco after Coco the gorilla. Right. There is the exception that proves the rule, as Icky Fu points out on Twitter. It's a P tweet. Charlotte's Most Beloved. That's true. John Hancock called himself Charlotte's Most Beloved, although I would point out he was saying it sarcastically. So there is some wiggle room there. Like you're like, oh yeah, that's me. I'm whatever, you know, and like, oh, he's whatever. And it sticks. Okay. Just for the record on nicknames. All right. So one of the other things that I have, in talking with Mark Starling earlier in the hour, from Asheville, you know, a couple things like you're seeing all of these towns that are surrounding Asheville. They are now they're booming. They're growing. They got lots of business investment going on because people are fleeing downtown Asheville. And so because Asheville had been sort of turned over to like the most insane elements of the local population. These are the people that are out there. If you've ever been to Asheville, like right at the center of the town, there's there used to be the Vance Monument. It looked like the Washington Monument, just like an obelisk, like a big, you know, post, basically. But they tore that down because it was named after the governor of North Carolina who came from Buncombe County, Zebulon Vance. And Vance was the governor during the Civil War. And so even though he didn't want to secede, it doesn't matter, he was the governor. So they had to take that down. And, you know, I suggested at the time that they just redesign it a little bit and make it into like a huge hypodermic needle looking monument, but they did not do that. Anyway, well, I don't have any pull there. You know, I'm not a leftist, but I do know that they would always gather at that monument and they would always have the protests there. If you go there on a Saturday or Sunday, you're going to see like 12 to 13 people out there protesting something, you know, usually like Roundup or whatever. And so they're going to be out there. And I just noted that these people, they tend to be like granola chomping hippie people, or so they present, or they're like the Antifa black bloc LARPer crowd. So I suggested, hey, you guys are using up a lot of cardboard with your signs, having to recycle those things, like throw them away and draw up new signs all the time. Although maybe they keep them, I don't know. But I suggested when you tore down the Vance Monument, just put up a very large whiteboard. Sorry, dry erase board. Don't call it a whiteboard. Why is it got to be a whiteboard? I don't know. So you call it a dry erase board. And then people could just change the messaging for whatever the protest is hour to hour. So that's, you know, that's what downtown Asheville has become. There's like a really rampant homeless problem, drug abuse all over the place, you know, people being accosted and assaulted. And so the tourists are kind of like, meh, not so crazy about this anymore. And, I mean, you get to see the drum circle once, and that's good enough, you know? I've done it, seen it, now I'm going to go back to my hotel and drink, you know, $14 martinis at the bar. But, so you got a lot of the towns around the area that are now benefiting, as I predicted they would. So if the city of Asheville would like to hire me as a consultant, I have an idea about sashes for your downtown ambassadors that I think is a real winner. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.